If you're here for the first time, my name is Josiah. I'm the lead pastor of Freedom House Church, one church in multiple locations, Fullerton, Irvine, online Espanol, and soon to come to Anaheim. Come on! Come on, clap a little louder for that one right there. That's right. We are 70 days away from the close of escrow. Amen. We are still raising funds. I want to thank all those that have given sacrificially. Come on, clap for that. Yeah. Don't leave me hanging. Come on now. And thank you for giving. There's still a gap. And so if there was ever a time to be faithful in your tithe and offering, now is that time. Ask me why. Say why. Because we have a generation to save for the glory of God. Come on, somebody. Revival needs to come. Souls need to be saved. And we need to take territory for God's kingdom. So thank you for your faithfulness in this season. Don't be that guy. Don't be that family that isn't on board of what God is doing, because we have an opportunity to convert a former Walmart into the house of God. Did you just hear what I just said? A former Walmart into the house of God. Literally, once in a lifetime opportunity. So thank you for your giving. And I know God is going to move powerfully. But this morning, we're going to take a little shift. We've been on a series on legacy. And for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to take a little shift. And we're going to talk about a summer of freedom. Someone say freedom. Freedom. And I want to talk about, in the next couple of weeks, about how God wants to increase the level of freedom that we experience in our lives. And yeah, you can go and clap. We're a clapping church. I love it. Level of freedom. Now, in case you didn't know, you walked into Freedom House. So there is a distinction on our church to help God's people experience the freedom that comes from God's kingdom. And so I want you to grab your Bibles as you remain standing. And we're going to talk this morning about a particular area that I believe will increase the freedom that God wants us to experience. Now, if you're new to church or new to Freedom House, I want to let you know that we are a type of church that believes that we can experience all that God said we can experience in His Bible. Someone say right now. So we don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience heaven. We can experience the kingdom of heaven right now. And so that's why I came to church this morning. I didn't come to church this morning just to be religious. It's like I didn't go to the gym just to look at the workout machines. I go to the gym to try to burn some of these fat calories. Anyway, pray for your boy. I came to church so I can experience everything God has for my life. Shout amen. And so today, I'm going to read this verse. I'm going to talk about a subject that, I'll be honest with you, I'll talk a little bit about the message that is being challenged in this season. But I know that God wants us to have this because it comes from Him. And I want to talk about restoring joy, about having joy in our life, because it's going to be hard to experience freedom if you're always trapped in a sadness. So sad they always call you sad girl. Just joking. Anyhow, it's an old song. Some of y'all don't know that. But let's read this verse. Psalms chapter 51 and verse 12. Watch what the Bible says. Check out this verse here. David wrote this in a moment of difficulty, but I want to speak to it to us to become our prayer. David wrote this. He said, restore to me, what did he say? The what? The, someone say joy. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. I want you to see here that David was praying for the restoration of joy. And I want to focus today for God to restore some joy back into your life, to restore some joy back into your marriage, restore some joy back into our homes, like restore some joy back into serving God. Like if we get real, some of y'all maybe got too religious in serving God. Let's get some joy back. Let's get some joy back in Jesus' name, amen? And so I wanna talk to you today, the title of my message is how to find joy again. How to find joy again. Now, why is joy important? I'm gonna read one verse. Let's go to Nehemiah 8:10. I feel like I need to read it right now. Nehemiah 8:10. Here's why joy is important. It says, and Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with the feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. He says, this is a sacred day before the Lord. Watch this last sentence. It says, do not be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your what? Is your Our strength is found in our joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. There's so much to cover today because as we tackle and talk about the subject of joy, Father, my prayer is that you restore that back into people this morning. Everyone that would hear this message online or Fullerton, Irvine, God, all across all our avenues, that God, a restoration of joy would take place. Father, my prayer is that above all, a restoration of joy in serving you. That God, if there be anybody who perhaps in serving you has become, they've lost the joy of serving you. They were once excited, once happy, once they would come running into the house of God, and now they're dragging into the house of God. Father, bring a restoration of joy back into people, marriages, hearts, minds, into families, Lord, because you have called us to live this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone say amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated. And just tell the person next to you, say, get your joy back. Say that. Come on. And let's just smile at them. Smile at them. I don't care. If you're missing a tooth, don't even matter. Just it's all good. Come on now. Let's just smile at them. And that's right. We're going to get our joy back in Jesus' name. I want to talk about that today. And I got a lot of ground to cover. If you looked at your outline, there's a lot of verses on there. And we love the Bible up at Freedom House Church. But I want to talk about this joy because it is so valuable to us to have this pillar be part of our character. And me personally, these last couple of weeks, if y'all follow me on any type of social media avenue, and I've talked about it to our church, man, it has been a challenge to my joy. So I'm like, I need to preach this. Because today, if not for anything, let me just beat up the devil a little bit and encourage somebody in Jesus' name. I mean, it has been a series of trials in my personal life with things that have happened. As some of you know, my body got attacked and had some type of like rash hit me. And then my house, there was a flood. And right now we're at a temporary, you know, situation. Been having to move the last couple of weeks from place to place. And I might be coming to your house soon. Anyway, I'm knocking on your door. Got no room for you, Pastor Josiah, you know. But, you know, I got 40 kids, just kidding, 4 and a dog. And I mean, it has been wild. And I'm going to tell you right now, if there's anything I hate is moving. I believe hell is a perpetual move. You just move for all of eternity. I'm like, this is hell. You know what I'm saying? But anyhow, you know, and then my son, you know, some of you follow social media, hurt his knee. And it's just like thing after thing after thing after thing after thing. And I'm like, okay, I know what's going on here. This is spiritual attack. And of course, all of this takes place after we're getting ready to turn a former Walmart into a house of God. All this taking place. Yeah, you ought to clap right there when signs, wonders, and miracles are happening. And I started, you know, I do what we do, which is we're believers. Okay, I know, you know, you're Pastor Josiah, but no, I'm human too. Listen, I got to trust God as well. And I won't be lying if I didn't have my moments of frustration saying, okay, what's going down right here, Lord? And I realized that it was an attack on my joy. It was an attack on my joy of seeing God move. Because here's the reality. I'll tell you what the devil wants. The devil don't want your car, by the way. The devil's after my car. No, he don't want your car. He's after my, the devil don't want your stuff. You know what he wants? He wants your joy. He wants your joy. The devil's not gonna live in your house. He ain't gonna live in your car. He don't want your phone. The devil's after my phone. He don't care about your phone. Okay? He cares about your joy. Because if he can steal your joy, then you begin to serve God out of frustration, and it's only a matter of time that you give up on your future. And joy is one of those things that it's a biblical truth. I'm going to break it down here in a second. Just kind of some opening thoughts here to kind of get us on the train tracks of where we're headed. But joy is one of those things that the older you get, the more you realize it's more important. Like my grown folks in the place, us grown folks, I'm part of you. That's us too. I'm 41. Come on, I'm over the hill. And us grown folks, the more I realize that when, you know, it's not just about accomplishing more stuff, but it's actually enjoying what you've accomplished. Because you can keep on trying to get goal after goal after goal, and then you're going to reach it. But if you don't get the joy, what's the point? I mean, what's the point? You're going to end up with a bunch of stuff, but an empty heart. Like the more we grow in the things of God, the more we realize that the stuff that is most valuable isn't stuff. It's the thing that money cannot buy. But God, as I grow in this thing, God, let my joy grow, not just my stuff grow. God, let my life grow so that my life can have the joy of the Lord. Come on, say amen right there. Because this joy stuff is good stuff. Someone say it's good stuff. And in the verses we read two verses, but David comes to a place of his life. Now, in context, David had a failure in his life, and he's asking God to restore the joy of his salvation. But I believe this can happen to any believer, that it doesn't necessarily have to be a failure, but if you're going through tests or trials, that what can take place is you lose your joy. You go through so much stuff that you're not as joyful as you used to be because of the stuff you went through. And you know, the Bible says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go in the house of God. But then it turns into, I was mad when they said to me, let me go to the house of God. You know, or now, maybe at one point, you couldn't wait to get to church, but now you're kind of like, oh, you know. And it's because you've gone through some things. Here's my prayer today. God, restore our joy. Amen. God, restore your joy. I pray that you don't just go back to the way it used to be. I pray that you get more on fire for God, that you come back to your first love, that you feel even greater on fire for God than you ever did when you got saved. Restore our joy. This can happen to marriages. This can happen to families. This can happen to your life where you'll begin to lose that joy. But God, restore our joy. In fact, let's just pray that. Say, Lord, restore the joy in my life. The joy of my salvation. Why? Why is joy so important? It's so important because Nehemiah, the second verse we read in our opening text, is Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, it's a very popular scripture, but let me break it down here. It says, don't be dejected and sad. He says, for the joy of the what? The Lord. What is it? It is your. So the Bible's revealing to us, why is joy important? It's not just important so we can all just smile and say, yeah, I'm happy. No, joy is important because it is connected to your strength. It's going to be really hard to have strength for the season you're about to enter if you're drained of joy. So here's why the devil goes after your joy. The devil goes after your joy because if he can drain your joy, your strength comes with it. You hear what I just said? So if he can steal your joy, and now the opposite of joy is sadness, the opposite of joy is dragging, you know, just blah, you know, apathetic. If he could steal your joy, then your strength comes with it. I've never seen someone accomplish great things living in a perpetual sorrow. God, give me, sometimes we say, Lord, give me strength. And God's like, I'm trying to, but your perspective of joy is off. And a lot of times the strength you need to fulfill the destiny God called you to is to protect your joy. Because there's joy robbers. You ever met some joy robbers? You know them, come on, they're vampires. They just suck the joy right out of you, right? So we need to recognize this. So why is joy important? Because joy is connected to our strength. So here's your first point, write this down. Point number one, we're gonna talk about joy today. We're gonna talk about how God wants to restore this in our lives. Write this down. Why is it important and how do we find joy? We've gotta know that the joy of the Lord is a key to strength. Say it with me, say the joy of the Lord is a key to strength. It is a key to strength. Joy is much deeper than a feeling, because the word joy in that we just read here in Nehemiah 8:10, where it says that joy is, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word joy there is the word kara, which means joy received. So when I'm talking about joy, you could jot some of these things down if you like, if you could write quick here, but joy is not happiness and happiness is not joy, okay? Happiness is something has to happen for you to be happy. You know, you go to get a happy meal, a lot of carbs, don't eat it, but happy, get happy, right? But that's joy because you got a happy meal. I'm sorry, that's happy because you got a happy meal. Joy is, it doesn't matter what's happened. God, I know you're with me, so I know you're gonna work things out in my future. Nothing has to, I don't care what happens. God, you're with me, you're gonna turn all things for good. Come on, somebody. Happiness is an outward smile. Joy is an inward smile. So don't mistake, I know I told you to smile earlier to your neighbor, don't mistake that because someone doesn't always smile that they don't have joy. That's Because some people that are always smiling are some of the saddest people. Now, how do you know that? Why? Because they're stuck in life. You see, joy is the resolution. It's like, no, I'm gonna keep moving forward. I'm gonna keep going after my God-given destiny. I'm gonna keep doing what God called me to do. I'm gonna keep believing God. We're gonna keep on going after this building. We're gonna keep on building this family. We're gonna keep on speaking faith. I'm gonna keep on laying hands on my son's knee and saying healing's gonna come. God's gonna get a testimony out of this. No matter what attacks my physical body, devil, you can't touch my spirit. Come on now, and we're gonna do what God called us to do. Say amen. So joy is an external smile. I'm sorry, happiness is an external smile. Joy is an internal smile. It's an internal, God's got this. It's an internal, no matter what, I ain't gonna let this go. I'm not gonna let go what God called me to do. Happiness is momentarily, joy is eternal. It's something that continues for all eternity. Happiness is an external event, but joy is an internal event. We find joy in God because God is an eternal God. He's a God that is with us, not just on the good times. God's with us at all times. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, but you are with me. In other words, God moves forward with us. And so this joy thing is a key to our strength. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord, put Nehemiah 8:10 back up there, it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, I want to bring emphasis to this because we in church this morning, we read God's word, because some people say joy is your strength. That's actually not true. Joy is not your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you hear what I just said? It's not joy is your strength, it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because a lot of people smoke a lot of stuff trying to get joyful. That's not your strength. I'm just trying to be happy. It's like, no, that's actually gonna get you more depressed. Joy is found, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Emphasis on the Lord, the joy of the Lord. Because you can do a lot of things and get happy, right? You can do a lot of fun things and still feel sad. And so how do we find our strength is I gotta learn how to find joy in God. I gotta learn how to celebrate while still honoring God. Yeah, you can have fun, but is your fun God honoring or not God honoring? You see, the devil can give you pleasure, but only God can give you joy. You see what I'm saying? So we wanna say, God, I want to be in you. Now, joy is so important because again, like I said, if the devil steals your joy in the Lord, he'll steal your strength. Now, I believe that one of the worst testimonies for God is a cranky Christian. Now I'm gonna just like right now, you're like, you're bench pressing and you're feeling that pain, okay? So just stay with me. You're squatting, you're going, my legs are on fire. I know, it's helping you. But I believe one of the worst testimonies is a cranky Christian. Where it's like, here you believe in God, but you're always cranky and negative. Listen, I'm just gonna let it settle right there. What makes you different? You're the one that complains the most at work. You know, everybody's all messed up around here. You're cranky, you're always mad. It's like you're always frustrated. It's always like you just smelled something terrible. Like, got that Fucci face. You know, it's like, wow. That is such a bad testimony. Because like, think about that. You go to work, they're like, well, I don't want your Fucci face. I already got that Fucci face. I tell you what the best witness for God is that in the midst of trials, you still got the joy of the Lord. When you decide, I'm different, why? Because even when all hell breaks loose, even when pipes bust in my house and I gotta be moving like it's the nativity scene of Jesus knocking on doors, trying to get somewhere. I come to preach to encourage you, but also to build myself this morning, I gotta slap the devil up a little bit right now. It's like, I'm gonna have joy no matter what. Even when I'm at the urgent care, when my son's knee got messed up, I'm like, Lord, I'm gonna be here for 4 hours, but praise God, come on somebody, I'm not gonna get discouraged. We're gonna speak faith. We're still gonna do what God called us to do. don't know who I'm talking to this morning. If your life has been perfect and you ain't got no trials and no drama, well, just pray for your pastor. But I'm telling you, there is some people in here that God is going to raise you up to say, no matter what I'm going through, I got a joy that God's going to carry me through. Shout amen. Tell somebody I got a joy. Just say, I got a joy. I got a joy. Now, again, joy doesn't always mean a smile. It means a resolute. It means, God, you got this. God, I'm going to go forward. God, I am focused on what you have. Because that, I believe, is the greatest testimony that makes us different. It's not, can I complain like everybody else, but can I get a perspective that other people don't have? There's some Christians so grumpy, you should join Snow White. Sorry. I believe it takes more faith to rejoice than to walk in sorrow. I believe it takes more faith to say, God, I'm going to choose to still worship you and walk with you even when I'm going through tests and trials. Yeah. Let me say this. Your greatest worship is when you don't want to worship. That's your greatest worship. It's when you're like, why would I worship you, God, after all that? My car just broke down on the way to church. Why should I worship you, God? But it's in those moments where you say, God, you're still God, no matter what. I'm still going to worship you, no matter what. I'm still going to honor you, no matter what. This is what James was talking about in James chapter 1, when he said this in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, when he says this. Y'all hate this verse, but I'm going to preach it. Come on. You're like, well, some of you that know, you're like, I don't like that verse. Here's why you don't like it. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you get a raise. That's not what it says. Count it all joy when you close that big business deal and show. Is that what it says? Count it all joy when the miracle comes to you. What does it say? Here's why people hate it if you're new to church. They hate it because it says this. It says, count it all joy when you fall into what? Let me tell you what the problem I have with this scripture. My flesh does. My spirit says I receive it. Here's the problem I got with this scripture. I would have loved this scripture that said, count it all joy when you fall into a trial. Why you don't have to put the word various in there? Come on. Clap. Why we gotta have the word various in there? Lord, right? Like, why various? Why can't it be like one trial at a time? Why does it gotta be like my life today where there's like 10 subscriptions? You know what I mean? Like, why various trials? Like, Lord, how come I just have one? I'll just take one trial, please, at a time. Yeah. One at a time, por favor. But it's like, it's like Forrest Gump. When you remember talking about rain, it was raining sideways, upways. It was raining left, right. It was raining every direction, you know? I'm saying, hallelujah. I'm like, why we got to do various? And the scripture says, count it all joy. Say, what? When you fall, in other words, you weren't planning for it. You didn't pick it. I didn't pick it. I know you ain't picking it. The only thing you picked was trying to live for God and take territory and believe for miracles and see God break generational strongholds and see God build your marriage. And, you know, all you wanted to see was God's goodness on this land is to honor him. But you fell into some trials. It wasn't because you're not good or it wasn't because you did something bad, but it's because the devil's trying to discourage you and God's trying to produce something in you. The Bible says, count it all joy. You're like, what? Why count it all joy? Here's why. This is why it's important that you continue reading the Bible. Verse 3, because watch, it says this, because knowing that the testing of your faith, come on, put it up there for me, the testing of your faith, what does it do? It produces. Now, it produces patience, but I want you to stop just word that the testing of your faith is producing something in you. God is producing something in my life while I'm going through what I'm going through. God's producing something in your life while you're going through this. God's producing something. And I know most of us, you wouldn't have chosen it. And I'm telling you right now, some of myself, like I told you some things that we're going through right now. And as a family, I'm like, God, I wouldn't have chosen this. Like, this is crazy. But God, I know you're producing something. There's something. Let him cook. Go ahead. Cook. Go ahead and cook, God. There's something you're producing in my life that is bigger than what I can see. There's something you're producing in my son. There's something you're producing in my family. And the last thing I want to do is to stop the production of heaven in my life. Come on, somebody. Count it all joy. All joy. Tell your neighbor, say, it's all good. If they looked at you with a stank face, say, it's still all good. No, it's not. I don't know about that. Because it's producing something. There's a strength that God is producing. I read something recently that said, slow growth produces character, but fast growth builds your ego. Say it again. Slow growth builds your character, but fast growth will build your ego. And sometimes we want God to build something fast, but God takes us the slow road. Because he wants to build your character. He produces it one day at a time. And you're like, Lord, can we get this trial over with already? Two honest people, the rest of you. I said, Lord, can we get this trial with all already? Come on, amen. Because trials are something that happened to us. Now, I want to show you something else in this verse that you need to know. And this is biblical. Say it's biblical. Verse 3, it says, the testing of your faith. Say the testing of our faith. God will never tempt you. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. God will never tempt you, but God will test you. Do you hear what I just said? God will never tempt you, but God will test you. Some people say, God, why am I going through this? Don't ask why, ask what are you producing? Because God will test your faith, but God tests are to elevate you and evaluate you. Because before God elevates you, he will evaluate you. He'll evaluate you. He'll put you in a little test. Let's find out who the real Slim Shady is, but not Slim Shady. Let's find out who the real Christian. Let's find out who you really are. Because we don't know who you really are when it's all good. Let's find out if you're a real one, and let's put you in a little hot water. Oh, I know you don't like this preaching. You're like, Pastor, tell me more about blessing. Well, right now I'm going through it, so we all going to learn how to go through it. Say amen. Come on, somebody. All right. We all going to learn how to go through it today. Because God's going to do some big things. I already know. It's already done. It's already done. That Walmart is going to turn into a house of God. We're going to see thousands of salvations. We're going to see revival. We're going to see healings. We're going to see miracles. Your kids will be married there. You're going to raise your children there. That school's going to be open. Come on. We're going to raise the funds to pay the building off completely. Come on. God's going to bless businesses to sow into the kingdom. We're going to buy the whole corner. We have to buy another building in the Inland Empire in Irvine. God's going to bring revival. Our Bible college is going to triple. Come on, somebody. We're going to raise disciples in Jesus' name. I know it's already, say it's already done. Say it's already done. But we have to walk it out. Get attacked sideways, up ways, left ways, right ways. But God, you're testing us. Watch this now. And I don't want to fail that test. Look at me. We don't want to fail that test. Don't fail that test. Whatever trial you're going through right now, don't fail that test. Because God wants to elevate you. He evaluates you to elevate you. Because before God elevates, he evaluates. Do you have the character to hold what I want to put on your life? Do you have the faith to hold what I want to put on your life? Like, do you think God, you think he's limited? No, he's an unlimited God. He's just looking for who he can put his blessing on. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Someone say, my faith's being tested. And tell your neighbor, say, don't fail this test. Say, don't fail this test. Don't fail this test. Don't fail this test. Don't fail this test. Keep your testimony. Don't cuss nobody out. Keep your testimony. Someone need to hear that. I don't know who that was. Just keep your testimony. Don't rob your own blessing and complain in this season. But instead say, God, you're producing something. God, you're doing something. God, you know, I'm telling you right now, I already said it 10 times. I said, the Bible says that when the thief comes to steal, Book of Proverbs, that he will have to pay back 7 times. So right now in the Silver Home, me and my son and my children, we're saying, devil, you're gonna pay back 7 times. I'm saying, you got to pay back 7 times. So we're saying, we're gonna come back 7 times more blessed, 7 times more stronger, 7 times more effective, 7 times, and we pray that every night right now, we're coming back 7 times. So when you see me blessed, be like, don't ask me, how'd you get blessed? Just say, you've been through some stuff. Come on, somebody. Someone say 7 times. Pray that because God wants to do that. He says, count it all joy. Someone say all joy. When you go through these various of trials, why? Because God is producing. Now, the reason why I told you to look at the word produce is because it's producing patience. We know that patience, come on, Bible college, is a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, there are 9 fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are 9 fruit of the Spirit. It says it produces patience, but here's what I want to show you, that when you go through trials, God is trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Amen. He's producing joy. He's producing. So you need to hear this because sometimes we'll say like, well, I'm not that kind of like happy person. I'm not that personality type. I'm more like a chill personality type. Okay. You can't say that. I'm not really a patient type of person. No, the Holy Spirit will give you the fruit of the Spirit of patience. The Holy Spirit will give you the joy. Why? Because it's a fruit of the Spirit that we can produce in our lives. And God wants to produce this in our lives. Say amen. So how do we increase practically? Write this down somewhere really, really quick. I'm going to go quick here. How do you increase joy in your life? I want you just put this here. Number one is you got to be led by the right God. Led by the right. So it's kind of subpoint 1-1. How do you increase joy in your life, have strength? Well, number one, 1.11 is be led by the right God. Now, what do I mean by that? Not everybody serves the God, Yahweh or Jesus. See, some people in this room today are led by not God, but by their girlfriend. Hallelujah. Okay. You got to be led by the right God. You're not led by God. They're led by their guy friend or their boyfriend. Okay. And by the way, your boyfriend is not your husband. Hallelujah. Okay. I got one amen. He's not your husband. So if Mr. Boyfriend is like trying to act like a husband, say, I don't see a ring on here. Come on, somebody. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor Josiah. All right. Okay. You got to be led by the right God. Okay. You know, your career, is it right? Your talent. Who is your God? If you're going to have joy, your joy has to be in the Lord. In other words, you are my God. You're in control. My future is in your hands, not in my career's hand. So even if you lose your job, you didn't lose your God. So don't lose your joy. Come on, somebody. I got my joy. Even if I have to lose, you know, all the stuff I'm holding, but I don't lose my God. I'm being led by the right God. Because some people lose their joy because they lost their girlfriend or their boyfriend. It's united by the right God. Okay. Number two, subpoint 1-2 is you have to listen to the right people. Listen to the right people. This is how you increase the joy of the Lord in your life. Listen to the right people. You can't go. How are you gonna have the joy of the Lord if you're always talking to people that don't know the Lord? For advice, okay? Now, of course, you should have people that don't know the Lord because you're witnessing to them, but I'm talking about listen to the right people. That's why it's so important, and when you're going through trials, to make sure you're in God's house, you're listening to the Word of God. Like, you're listening to God's Word. You're having the right voice in your life. Listen to the right people. I'm sorry, number one, be led by the right God. Number two, listen to the right people. Number three is live legacy-minded, legacy-minded. What do I mean by that? When you're battling for your joy, you cannot think just about the moment. You got to think about the future. You got to know, like, why am I going under this attack right now? Why is the devil trying to discourage you right now? Why is he trying to get you to throw in the towel right now? He's trying to get you to throw in the towel because you are about to embark on the biggest breakthrough of your life, on the biggest blessing for your family, and you cannot give up right now. You got to go forward in the name of Jesus. You got to live legacy minded in Jesus' name. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. Let me just rapid fire some scriptures at you right here. The Bible says, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. Say the favor of God. It says, weeping may last through a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, I don't know how many nights you're gonna be crying yourself to sleep, but there's gonna be one morning when you wake up that you're gonna say, now I know why I went through all the hell that I went through, because God, I now see that the hand of God was on my life. Shout amen. The Bible says, Psalms 126 and verse 5, it says, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. So if you've been crying over this season, I want you to know God has been holding those tears in his hands, and you're just watering the seed of the miracle that God is going to bring for your life, and you're gonna be laughing at the devil. I'm telling you, the greatest miracles, when they come into your life, you're gonna be doing your Holy Ghost. Everybody got their touchdown dance. So get your touchdown dance ready. Because right now you're crying, saying, God, why did this happen? But I'm going to trust in you. The Bible says you're sowing in tears, but the day's going to come where you're going to reap and you're going to do your touchdown dance. I'm talking about everybody got their, like, whatever it is. You're like, ah, God, you did it, Lord. And you're going to laugh. Like the greatest miracles, you'll just start laughing. And I can't wait till we sit in the miracle God has for our life and your life. And you and your wife are gonna start laughing. The devil actually thought he almost had us, he did, because you were acting a little crazy, you were. I saw you, you were like, I don't know, and I was like, you know, and we all, and you're gonna be going like, I'm talking belly laugh. We're gonna say, look what the Lord has done. Oh, thank you, God. I'm gonna hold on to my joy in my tough season so I can dance with joy in my miracle season. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, God. I gotta move on. I gotta finish. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It says, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the what? The Holy Spirit. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. And at your right hand is pleasure evermore. Number two, write this down. I got to finish this outline because we're preaching something totally different next week. Number two, write this down. The joy of the Lord is the key to health. You need to know this. Why you need to keep on to your joy? Yes, practically for your future, practically for your strength, but also practically for your health. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22 says this, says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Your joy is key even to your physical health. Doctors are catching up to the Bible. You heard me right. They're catching up and they're realizing that the reason people are having high blood pressure is not because of the 4x4 cheeseburgers y'all be eating. But the reason why people have high blood pressure, they say it's all the stress. You're going through a lot of stress. You need a calmate, calm down. We now have done research that it's the emotions are connected. The Bible already told me this thousands of years ago, that joy is good medicine, that it literally heals your body. You need to have joy. It'll heal your body. It'll heal your mind. The joy of the Lord will extend your life. It'll bring healing even to your physical body. But the Bible says a crushed spirit dries up even your bones. What does that mean? It even deteriorates your body. It's connected. So let's begin to have more joy so we see more healing in our lives. Come on, say amen, say amen, say amen, say amen. It's all connected, guys. Mind, body, soul, strength. It's all there.
let me just say this. God wants to bring more laughter to your marriage. I don't know who that's for. God wants to bring more laughter to your family. In fact, I got a prophetic vision of families laughing again together in the living room. Laughing again. Marriages laughing like you used to laugh, all giddy when you were dating. It's gonna bring healing to your body, healing to your home, because we're a family of joy. Come on, give God a hand clap. Stand to your feet, let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. God, summer of freedom. Summer of freedom. Summer of freedom. Would you bow your head all across our campuses and just say, Lord, I realize that the trials I've been going through is trying to rob my joy. It's trying to rob my health. Trying to rob my future. But this morning, I'm gonna hold on to joy. Say this, joy is a perspective. It's not just a feeling. It's a resolute. It's a looking to the future. It's a grabbing hold to what you have for my life, to the promises of God, to the presence of God, that you are in control. Say it's an internal change. So Lord, increase my joy so I can accomplish what you called me to accomplish, Lord. I love you, Heavenly Father. Build me from the inside out so I can live this life according to your will. In Jesus' name.